Very warm good afternoon to all of you. You know, today is already the last Sunday in November, and how fast this year 2019 is coming to an end. For the people of Hong Kong, sadly, it's been many months this year of unrest and violence, and it continues. But for Christians in Singapore, we have given 2019 a special name. Some people call it Year of Proclamation. Some people call it Year of Hope. Both are correct. Both are correct. Because for Christians who believe in Jesus, it is a year where we proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus. So to Christians, a year of proclamation. But to those who hear it, it's a year of hope. Because without Jesus, there are so many troubles in this life. But in Jesus, there is hope of a better tomorrow. There is hope of eternal life starting right now. So both are correct. For those of us who are Christians, has this been truly a personal year of proclamation where we have been telling the good news to other people? What exactly does it mean to tell the good news to people? You know, in the Bible, there are several images used for evangelism or sharing the gospel. Perhaps one of the most famous image is fishing. And so in today's reading, Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was speaking here to two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They were fishermen, so it's quite natural that Jesus would say, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers, not of fish, but fishers of men." You know, fishing in itself, in the natural sense, is a good job, but it's a job for the here and now. Fishermen catch fish to sell, to make money, to take care of their livelihood. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, I will give your life new meaning, new significance, not just for the here and now, but a significance into eternity. Isn't this what we all want with our life? Are we happy to just live from day to day? I'm sure deep inside all of us, there's a longing. We want our life to have eternal significance. We want something that will last forever and be counted as great in the kingdom of God. And so, let us learn what it means to be fishers of men. Our topic for today, fishing for men. In the Bible, there are three basic types of fishing. The first one is called dragnet fishing. This kind of net used in dragnet fishing is very, very large. So one part of the net is put into one boat, and the other part of the net is put in another boat. And as the boats move along, the bottom of the net will sink to the bottom of the water because it's weighed down. The top of the net will float. But as the two ships, the two boats move, they're dragging the net, and the fish are all caught in this net, and they're dragged onto the seashore. In this way, using dragnet, a very large net, you can actually catch great, great numbers of fish. Jesus mentions this type of fishing in Matthew 13:47 to 48, dragnet fishing. Of all the disciples, it is likely that the brothers James and John used dragnet fishing. They too were fishermen. It's likely that they used dragnet fishing. And why do we say that? Because firstly, to be a dragnet fisherman, you cannot be a poor fisherman. A poor fisherman cannot do dragnet fishing. You need to be someone with good capital, someone with money. And so James and John, we read that they were quite well-to-do. Their family was well-to-do. They did not fish alone. They fished with their father and even with servants. Mark 1:20 says the father had servants. They're a well-to-do family. Matthew 4:21 says they were mending their nets. This in itself is a clue what kind of fishing they were doing. Because of all the types of fishing, the type that's most likely to need the mending of nets is dragnet fishing. Why? Because these nets would catch such a huge volume of fish, so heavy, but not just fish, you understand, when the net is being dragged along the bottom, it picks up not only fish, it picks up also sharp objects, perhaps glass, perhaps stone, sharp objects. So these nets would need mending. And Matthew 4:21 says, this is exactly what James and John were doing when Jesus saw them. They were mending the nets. So it's a clue that they were doing dragnet fishing. The dragnet catches huge amounts of fish. In terms of evangelism, we could call it mass evangelism. God has raised up several people gifted in mass evangelism. One of the famous people in the world today doing this is a man named Daniel Kolender. He's an evangelist who preaches at stadiums, and when he preaches, millions of people hear the gospel. Millions of people who have not yet received Jesus. When he preaches, the Holy Spirit convicts hearts, and altogether more than 21 million, I repeat, more than 21 million people have received Christ at these crusades. You mean more than 21 million people attended the rallies? Yes, but more than attended the rallies, they actually put their faith in Jesus, their names have been recorded, these people have been followed up. They are genuine converts, more than 21 million. It's hard for us in Singapore to imagine that figure because we are a small nation. But if you can imagine the population of Singapore, it's more than three times, nearly four times the population of Singapore. More than 21 million, that's how many people have been brought into the kingdom through this kind of mass evangelism. You say, who is Daniel Kolender? Perhaps you don't know him. He's actually the successor to another evangelist named Reinhard Bonnke. And perhaps you're more familiar with him because he preached in Singapore's National Stadium many years ago. When Daniel Kolender has rallies, you know, the Holy Spirit is at work to do miracles, signs and wonders. So in this picture, you can see that there's a man holding up a wheelchair. And the reason why he's holding up a wheelchair is because the woman has been healed and she doesn't need the wheelchair anymore. So praise God. We may not be mass evangelists ourselves, but we can pray that this kind of evangelism, this kind of fishing will continue in the world with great success, bringing millions to faith in Jesus. Dragnet fishing. The second type of fishing is called cast net fishing. Cast net fishing is very different from dragnet. Dragnet fishing needs a lot of teamwork, a lot of organization. It needs at least two boats, and it needs a lot of fishermen to work together. Cast net fishing can be done by just a single fisherman. So what he does is he will take a net, not as big as a dragnet, a smaller one, and he will hold one half of the net in his hand, and with the other hand, he will just twirl it over his shoulder, twirl it over his head, and then cast it into the water at a specific spot. You see, this fisherman is standing on the seashore. He's standing on land, but even when you're standing on land, you can see exactly where there are a lot of fish. So he will cast the net just where he sees there are a lot of fish. And then the bottom is weighed down, the bottom of the net weighed down so it sinks. The top floats and the fish are inside. But there must be a way to secure the fish so they don't, run away. No, so that they don't swim away. And so the fisherman pulls a cord to like enclose the net. It's the same idea. Have you ever seen a money pouch? So here you have to imagine a very, very big money pouch. And inside is not money, but it's fish. So there are fish inside the money pouch. How do you secure the top? You pull a string, right? And when you pull the string, the money pouch closes. In the same way, when this fisherman pulls the cord, the cast net closes and the fish are trapped. And this is a good way of fishing. It catches quite a number, though not as many as dragnet fishing. Of all the disciples who were fishermen, it is likely that the disciples Peter and Andrew used this kind of fishing. The Bible gives us clues. Matthew 4:18 says that they were casting a net into the sea. This immediately gives us a clue. They were doing cast net fishing. In terms of evangelism, as I said, this type of fishing catches many fish, not as many as dragnet. I would say it is something like a person who is gifted in personal evangelism. Some people have this gifting. They love to share the gospel, and they can tell you many testimonies of leading people to Christ. So one such person is Frank Jenner. Frank Jenner lived in Sydney, Australia. He's a man who loved God, and he made a promise to God that he's going to share the gospel with at least 10 people every day. Did you hear that? Share the gospel with 10 people every day. Have you made such a promise to God? I think for us, if we can make a promise to God, Lord, I love you, I want to share the gospel with 10 people every year. Is that a realistic goal? 10 people every year? To me, it sounds just fine, you know, because after all, there are 12 months in a year. So if you share the gospel 10 people a year, that takes up 10 months. It leaves you 2 months for holidays, June and December. No need to share the gospel. It works fine. Frank Jenner, he didn't say 10 people a year. He said 10 people every day. Wow, what a man. His way of sharing the gospel, he would stand in a place called George Street. George Street is in Sydney, Australia. He would stand there and he would talk to people who are passing by, strangers. And his favorite question was this. He would say to them, "Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" Well, to us, that sounds like a very strange question. But this is how he did it. He would stop strangers and he would say, "If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" It sounds a bit, what should we say, a bit aggressive, but it got people thinking. And Frank Jenner would give them a tract also so that they could read more about the gospel. This man faithfully shared the gospel with 10 people every day. He did so for 40 years of his life. And as far as he knew, he had zero success. No one believed in Jesus as a result of his sharing. So as an old man, Frank Jenner felt his whole life was a failure. But was it really a failure? God raised up a pastor from London, a preacher. And as this London preacher traveled to many different countries on different continents, as he interacted with people, he found that many people said they got saved because of a ministry of an old man in George Street, Sydney, Australia. And no matter which country this London pastor visited, when he spoke to people, they all said, "Actually, I got converted. It's because of this old man who asked me this strange question. If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" And they all traced it back to Frank Jenner in Sydney, Australia. How many people got saved as a result of his ministry? The pastor counted. He counted 146,000 people. 146,000 people. That is amazing. That is bigger than any church we have in Singapore. It is an amazing number. So, don't lose heart. If it seems that you share the gospel and yet people don't respond immediately, don't lose heart. Frank Jenner thought he was a failure, but in fact, he was great in God's eyes. He shared the gospel with strangers. You say, is it really possible to love strangers so much that you would share the gospel with them? There was one night recently, I was working in the cathedral. The meeting ended late. And so by the time I was driving home, it was late at night. I drove, as I was approaching my home, I drove along a road that's very narrow, and deserted. It was lit up, not as bright as a highway, but the light was bright enough for me to see. And because the road was narrow, I was driving slowly. And so I could see that at the side of the road, on the pavement, there was a dog, a black dog. And I could see from the dog's body language that this dog was not happy, he wasn't confident, but he was a stray dog. He was hunched over, his tail was down, and his face was very sad. Immediately I knew that this stray dog has no food to eat, no water to drink, no home, no family, no one that he can ask for help, no one who loves him. And it troubled me very much. I'm an animal lover, and it troubled me very much. In fact, all the way driving home, I was still thinking about this dog. When I reached home, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "You are so troubled because you saw this stray dog." I said, "Yes." And he said, "Shouldn't you rather be so troubled? Because in the world, there are so many people who are lost. So many people who have no future because they don't know Jesus. They don't have the future of a glorious eternity with Jesus." Holy Spirit said, "Shouldn't you be more troubled that there are such people?" And I had to admit, "Yes, Lord." I praise God that there are people like Frank Jenner, people who love God so much, people who love strangers so much that they would commit to share the gospel, an incredible target, 10 people a day. What is our target? For me, if you can commit today to share the gospel, even with 10 people a year, that is already good. The third type of fishing is called line fishing. Line fishing is the simplest, most basic kind of fishing. All you need is a line and a hook, or in modern day language, you could call it fishing rod fishing. If you go to Israel today as a tourist and you go to the Sea of Galilee, chances are you will have this served for lunch. It's a fried fish. It's called St. Peter's fish. And it got its name, St. Peter's fish, from the Bible, from Matthew 17, where Jesus spoke to Peter. And he said, "Peter, go to the Sea of Galilee and bring the first fish that you catch. What kind of fishing was Jesus referring to? If you read this account in Matthew 17, you'll find it is definitely line fishing. Now, the three methods of fishing. Line fishing catches the least. And so we can put it this way. Dragnet fishing catches the most people. We could call it mass scale fishing. Cast net fishing also catches a lot, not so many. We can call it medium scale. Line fishing, well, I couldn't find a nice M word, so I call it man. It catches fish one man at a time, one fish at a time. It's this kind of evangelism, the slowest, the most basic, but by no means the least important. In Luke 15, verse 10, Jesus says, "There is rejoicing in heaven if even one sinner comes to repentance." So it's by no means the least important. Do we do line fishing? Just recently, I was walking in the cathedral grounds when I noticed there was a lady sitting on one of our benches in the cathedral, a stranger. I just smiled at her, she smiled back, and I walked past her. I don't know her, so I walked right past her. But the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, "Turn around and go and speak to her." So I had to turn around. I went back to this lady and I said, "Excuse me, is there anything that I can help you with?" And it turned out there's nothing that she needs help with, but she's very friendly and she just wants to talk. So I started talking to her. We talked a long time about nothing in particular, just talking, so long until my legs got tired. And so I said to her, "Can I sit on the bench with you?" And she said, yes, sit, anyone can sit, she said. So I sat with her and we were talking a long time. I found out in the conversation that she is not a Christian. So of course, my heart was beating fast and I was saying to myself, I want to share the gospel with her. And all the time I was praying, Holy Spirit, will you show me how to share the gospel with her? I was praying, but I heard nothing. So finally I said to her, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And so I asked her, what is your prayer need? She said, well, I want good health. I said, that's wonderful. That's a perfect prayer item. So I prayed for her good health. And at the end of the prayer, I looked to her and I said to her, Jesus loves you. When I said to her, Jesus loves you, she began to cry. I couldn't understand it. How come she's crying? And then she said, I never knew that. I've never heard it before. No one has ever told me that Jesus loves me. I thought, wow. So anyway, she hugged me and I was so happy. I took pictures. That's what I'd like to do. I took pictures. And after that, I said goodbye and I left her. And I was walking further to the staff car park. I happened to meet one of the cathedral pastors, Pastor Lien Suan. And I said, Lien Suan, do you know I just met a stranger and I prayed for her. And when I told her that Jesus loves her, she cried. And Lien Suan said to me, and. You see, Lien Suan is what we call a personal evangelist. Lien Suan's only concern was, did you lead this stranger to Christ? So she kept saying, and, did you lead her to Christ? And I said, well, you know, I wanted to, but I didn't know how. So Lien Suan said, you should have said, do you want Jesus in your heart? And I said, oh, and that's so simple. Why didn't I think of that? I should have said, yeah, do you want Jesus in your heart? And then Lien Suan said to me, you quickly go back and find her. And so I was thinking, wow, will she still be there? I don't know, but okay, it's worth a try. So I walked back. Praise God, she's still sitting on the bench. So I found her. And I said, do you remember when I prayed for you just now, you told me that this could be your last time coming to cathedral. She told me actually that she works in a shopping center near the cathedral. And for many years, whenever it is her break time, she will come to the cathedral grounds because she finds cathedral grounds more restful than the shopping center. For many years, she's been doing this, but no one ever told her that Jesus loves her. But this day, she said, was probably her last time in cathedral because she's being posted to another branch far away. And so after I prayed for her, she said, this is probably my last time and nobody knows except Jesus. And she said, Jesus sent you, that's me, Jesus sent you to me because Jesus loves me. She said it herself. I said, do you remember saying that? And she said, yes, I remember. And then I asked her, do you want Jesus in your heart? And I'm waiting for the answer. Do you want Jesus in your heart? And you know what she said? She said, of course I want. Of course I want. So praise God. I was so happy at the joy of praying with her to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Amen. And then just a few days ago, she phoned me from her new place of work just to chat. And I said to her, you know, I'm going to speak in the cathedral today, that Sunday, and can I show the people your photo? She said, yes. So here it is. This is her photo. This is the lady that the Lord enabled me to share the gospel with, this lady who cried because she heard that Jesus loves her, this lady who received Jesus in her heart as her Lord and Savior. Amen. Doing line fishing is slow. It's only one fish at a time, one man at a time. But it brings great rejoicing in heaven and on earth. Great rejoicing to me. Great rejoicing to the lady who received Jesus. My prayer is that for those of us here, 2019 will really be a year of proclamation. That those of you, you've already been telling the gospel to your friends, to your family, even to strangers, that you will do so more and more. But if you've not yet shared the gospel with someone this year, If you've not yet led someone to Christ this year, that you will do so. You still have 1 month to go before the end of the year. I pray it will be so. You say, it's not easy to share the gospel. I know it is not easy. I told you that I met a stranger one day when I was walking in the cathedral grounds. What I didn't tell you was that for a very long time, I've been praying. And I've been saying, Lord, I really want to share the good news with someone. Can you please give me someone? Can you please send someone into my life so I can share the gospel with that person? And I've been praying that for a long time. And it happened that day. Praise the Lord. My prayer for you is that you would be so stirred with love for Jesus. When we really love someone, you cannot stop talking about the person. You cannot stop sharing how wonderful this person is with other people. My prayer is that all of us will be so overflowing with love for Jesus. We just want to share his goodness with everyone that we meet. I pray that the Lord will bring people into your life and you will not only share the gospel with them, but have the joy of leading them to salvation. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Firstly, I want to pray for those of us here who do believe in Jesus. We haven't yet shared the gospel with someone this year. We haven't yet led someone to faith in Jesus this year. But we want to. We want to. If that is you, will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes. Who else? Who else? You really want to share the gospel? Amen. Amen. Father, I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, you see the hands, you see the hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will send people into their life that they can share the gospel with, even strangers, Lord. You will just open up doors, you will create opportunities, and you will give to them the anointing and the exact words to say, so that when they share about Jesus, oh, they will see the smile on the face of the people they're talking to. And Lord, that truly you will grant to them a time of rejoicing, line fishing, bringing people into your kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Also, I want to pray for those of you here. You're in church, you've been coming to church, but you haven't yet received Jesus into your heart. You want to know about him. You've not yet invited him into your heart. But today, you want Jesus to come into your heart. And if that is you, will you also raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes, amen, amen. Who else? Who else? Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people who have raised their hands. And Lord, you know their hearts. Your love for them is tremendous. So, Father, I just pray that even now, as they repent of sins, and as they say, we want a new life, Father, you will come, fill their hearts with Jesus, that their lives will be totally changed, totally transformed, and they will say, truly, this is the God who loves me. This is the God I will live for. So I thank you, Lord. I bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you who raised your hands just now, I would like to pray for you personally. After the service, I'll be here. Please come. If you didn't raise your hand just now, but you would like prayer, there'll be a ministry team here. We would love to pray for you later. Thank you.